Lord, we really praise you. In your word, there is strength. Pray this morning that your word would really work in us with power and strength, that we not just hear it, but that we mix it with faith, that we go and do your word. Give us a poor spirit and a pure heart. Thank you, Lord, for all of the precious saints. Make all of us here to an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Did you exercise that this morning? As soon as you woke up, to thank the Lord, to proclaim his victory, I said, give thanks to the Lord who gives us the victory. Before we continue this morning with Roman numeral 4 on the outline, I want to add something about from last night, Roman numeral 3, our cooperation with Christ to become overcomers. Last night we heard many practical things that we can do to help us become overcomers. And I want to add one point that the Lord has put on my heart now for several months, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord. It is such an important, practical exercise to call upon the Lord every day. It was what characterized the first Christians, the first churches, was that they called upon the name of the Lord. For example, in Acts chapter 9, when Saul was not yet turned to Paul and he was still persecuting the churches, he said he was seeking those who called upon the name of the Lord. That was how you could find the believers, how you could tell who was a believer, those who followed Jesus. And in Genesis 4, when Seth was born, the last verse says, and it, that then man began to call the name of the Lord. And my own experience when I first met the church was that the saints often called upon the Lord's name together. At first I thought, these saints are crazy. But I also noticed that there is a power hidden in calling upon the name of the Lord. And so I tried it myself. At first, it felt strange. I came out of Christianity. Everything there is very quiet and still and pious. There's always the silent time. And there's a preacher standing in the front. He speaks. Everyone else is quiet. So you're not used to open your mouth, let alone call out loudly. And I remember the first time I called out, Lord Jesus, loudly, and not just once, but several times. It was such a liberation, such a strength. And yesterday I was flipping through the book of Acts, and in the first few chapters it's so good to see that the power and salvation was always in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often it is written, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first chapters, I'll give you a few examples. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching there, he quotes the book of Joel. And what is he? Quote, in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say everyone who believes in God will be saved. All the Pharisees believed in God, but they not only did not call upon the Lord's name, but they fought against the Lord's name, and that's why they did not experience any salvation. So why do I say that? Because in the last months, the Lord showed me again and again that this name, Lord Jesus Christ, is really important. It really discerns the spirits, you can say. There are so many places. I've went to so many places this year and met people who say, I fear God. It's good. But then talking to them more, I wondered, what God do they actually believe in? What God do they fear? A universe, some sort of entity, divine entity, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of different directions and not just religion, but also, yeah, movements going on among people that make people believe in anything except for the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we preach the gospel to people, we should really mention the Lord Jesus Christ. I used to say when I preach the gospel, yes, I believe in God. But now I've started to to make it more specific to say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because many people might believe in some sort of God, divine entity, but they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 6 in Acts, it also says again, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Chapter 3, verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. That was Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And then in chapter 4, they were put to trial for that, saving this man. And then in chapter 4, verse 7, it says, by what power or by what name have you done this? So a name is not just a title of something, how to call something. There is really power in the name. And in chapter 4, verse 10, it says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And this was the difference in Acts. Yeah, everyone here believed in God, but the disciples stood for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. So salvation is not alone in you believing in God. Salvation is in believing in Jesus Christ. And and what did they forbid the disciples in chapter 4? They forbid them to talk about God, and they forbid them to talk about this name, Jesus Christ, because the enemy knows that's where salvation is. So brothers and sisters, daily we should practice, exercise to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to emphasize, when I came to the church back then, in the meeting, we did it in almost every meeting. You couldn't miss it. Today, we don't do it that often. I don't know. Maybe we need to go back to calling upon the Lord's name more in the meeting. I don't know. But definitely do it for yourself every day. I begin my days now calling upon the Lord's name loudly, and it is such a salvation. So when we talk about what we can do, what is our cooperation to become an overcomer, we can call upon the Lord's name, not as a religious practice, but as an exercise of life. Sometimes in the morning, we are tired, our mind is foggy, our thoughts are everywhere. If you just say loudly, Lord Jesus, several times from your heart, Lord Jesus, I call to you. That is such a salvation. The enemy wants to shut our mouths, but we call upon the Lord's name. Also during the day, when you're at work, if you have a quiet moment, call upon the Lord loudly. It is such a liberation. And I noticed so many times I was able to overcome. In this name, there is salvation. And in Psalm, it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, then the righteous runs there and is in safety. Sometimes we are distressed and we have to find a way to bring ourselves into safety. What's the best and fastest way to do so? Call upon the name of the Lord. So I encourage especially all the new brothers and sisters, try it. Exercise this. Open your mouth and call upon the name of the Lord. Leave aside all of your doubt, all of your apprehensions, and call upon the name of the Lord. This is an important part of our cooperation in order to overcome. This morning, we move on to Roman numeral 4 in the outline. The different things we need to overcome. The different things we need to overcome. So in this meeting, we want to take a look more to get to know our enemy, to get to know the devil. We don't want to really know him closely. We just need to understand his strategy so that we know how to fight him, how to overcome him. The first point on the outline that we need to overcome is our flesh and our self, the old man. Then there's the world, B is the world, and C is the accuser of the brethren. We really need to see what we need to overcome. But the first thing is the flesh and ourself. Like was shared last night, we believers still have fallen flesh and a fallen self. Right? When we were unbelievers, we had a dead spirit. Now we have a resurrected, born-again spirit, but our flesh and our soul is still fallen and corrupt. Of course, the more we walk with Him, then our soul will be infiltrated step by step and renewed by the Spirit. But yet, we still carry the old man around with us in our flesh and in ourself, and the old man is very corrupted. And corrupt doesn't just mean that it's not that good. Corrupt means that our flesh and our soul can be used as tools and weapons for Satan. We can see I'm a born again Christian. I have the victorious and conquering Christ dwelling in me, and yet the enemy, Satan, is still able to use my ego, myself, as a weapon for himself. He can use my flesh as a weapon for himself. And when I live in my flesh, then Satan is magnified. This is possible also for us as born-again Christians. There was one sentence said on the first night that the brother said, if yourself isn't there anymore, then there's also no world for you. That really came into my heart. The core problem that we have is ourself and our flesh, all the things in the world. Some of them are not that bad, but the problem is that we are fallen and then our heart attaches to it. Something like money, for example. Money in and of itself is just a piece of paper or coin to do trade with. It's just something to trade. But the problem is my fallen old man loves it. The Bible says that the root of all evil is not love, is not money, excuse me. The root of all evil is not money. The root of all evil is the love of money. The root of all evil is the love of money. If myself is still there, then I cannot overcome the world. The way to overcome the world is to overcome myself, to overcome my flesh. And for that, we really have to see that it is corrupt. For that, Romans 7 is very good. Romans 7 says, Paul says, in a time where he was really walking with the Lord, he was writing the book of Romans. So you could say Paul is a very good Christian. And in Romans 7, verse 18, this brother says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Romans 7, verse 18. To have such an awareness is so good. I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Nothing. 0%. And if we really want to be overcomers, then we have to understand that in my flesh, that I still have nothing good dwells. Nothing good can come out of my flesh. He expands in verse 19 to explain more. He says, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. That's what our flesh is like. It does exactly the opposite of what we actually want to do. Romans 8, verse 8 says, so then those who are in flesh cannot please God. And at the end, you end up doing the will of Satan instead. And also our self, our soul life, our ego. The soul is created by God in a wonderful way, with emotions, with will, with a mind. But through the fall in sin, then it has become a selfish being. Our soul has become a selfish being. We just think about ourselves. Our emotions are corrupt, perverted. Human love is so fallen. Our will is perverted. What God wants, we don't want. What God doesn't want, that we want to do. The word says that our mind has been darkened. Maybe the best example of how ourself can be so corrupt is in Matthew 16, when Peter speaks to the Lord. And it's very decisive when we think of a corrupt mind. We think of someone who gets furious, who loses his temper. But Peter, he says, Lord, let that never happen to you. I don't think that this is an example of something that we think of when we think of ourselves. But in Matthew 16:23, the response of Jesus to what Peter said was that, get behind me, Satan. That doesn't mean that Peter was not the devil, but the devil was able to use Peter's self as a weapon to tempt Jesus. Isn't that shocking? It was the same Peter who just a moment before recognized that this was the Jesus Christ. He just realized that this is, this is the rock that he will build his church upon, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And then a few verses later, the Lord says, get behind me, Satan. Even if this morning you receive fresh revelation from the Lord, you can go out and yourself is still with you. That's why we shouldn't be frustrated, but we should have a healthy mindset that our flesh is corrupt. So when we stand up in the morning today, we can say, today I want to overcome my flesh and myself. And how do we overcome that? The Lord found a wonderful way for us to overcome our flesh and ourself. He ended it with himself on the cross. That is the wonderful way of God for us to become overcomers. Like we often said in the church life, God's way isn't for us to improve ourself and our flesh, because it's so corrupt you cannot improve it. There's only one way. You have to put it to death on the cross. We wrote several points down here on the outline, and that is really the burden today, that we see that the Lord already crucified our flesh and ourself on the cross. In Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 19, he lists off works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and so on. And at the end of verse 21, he says, for those who practice such things, or in other words, if I, as a born-again Christian who still lives in my flesh and does these things, I will not inherit the kingdom of God. The title of this conference is that he who overcomes shall inherit all things. We have to overcome these things. What did the Lord do in verse 24? Let's read Galatians 5, 24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When the Lord died on the cross, not only he died on the cross, but he also crucified us on the cross. He crucified our flesh on the cross. He crucified our self on the cross, including all of our desires and passions. We know from the conference that we had in James, there are the passions and desires that lead to sin. If we want to overcome sin, then we also need to overcome passions and desires. And praise the Lord, it says here that we have crucified with Christ the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we want to overcome, then we need to learn to set ourselves upon these fundamental truths. Let's read Galatians 2:19. I have been crucified with Christ. This is verse 20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. And then in Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. We asked him to speak a little slower for the translation, but he said, it's so exciting what the Lord is doing, it's hard to speak slow. Chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's wonderful. And he says in verse 6, knowing this, and we all need to know this, we need to know that our old man was crucified with him. Your old man is crucified with him. And every morning, Sunday morning at the Lord's table, we should celebrate this. Not only that the Lord has died for me, but let us also praise and say thank the Lord, that not only is the Lord crucified, but we are crucified with him, because through this I am free in my flesh. Through this I can overcome. If only the Lord died on the cross, if only the Lord had died on the cross, and the only effect of that would be that our sins are forgiven, but you still have your flesh, yourself, that would be pitiful. Because every day you would fall again, of course, then you have forgiveness because the Lord paid for your sins on the cross. So praise the Lord. When we are celebrating the Lord's table, let's praise that we are crucified with him. In verse 7, for he who has died, we are crucified, we are buried, and we have died. We are crucified, died, and buried. Everything has been taken care of. Praise the Lord. And we really need to see this on one hand. So often we only see and ask, Lord, help me with this and that. We pray in a certain way as if it still has yet to occur. But we need to learn by faith to stand upon the truths of what the Lord has already accomplished, what has already occurred. If you're in a situation and passion and desire come up and your flesh wants to react, then practice to say, Lord, I am crucified with you. We shouldn't pray so helplessly, oh Lord, help me with my sin, help me with my flesh. We say, Lord, my flesh is put to an end with you. Myself that wants to stir up right now, I stand in faith upon the truth that it is already buried with you. To pray like this, to take the word as a truth like this, that is overcoming. That is really overcoming. That's why we have to see what the Lord has done. On the other hand, the Lord is very well balanced. There's another hand in Romans 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a mystery, isn't it? We just heard we are crucified, died, and buried. And now he says, reckon yourselves to be alive and to God in Christ Jesus. So on the one hand, the work has already been finished and we need to stand upon it. On the other hand, we need to reckon ourselves like this, that we are alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. When sin wants to come, yeah, the Lord says that sin is lurking at the door. You can't just say, oh, it doesn't matter, I've died, I've crucified. No, I have to reckon myself to be dead indeed to sin actively, proactively. I stand upon this truth to accept all of the truths in the Bible. To say, hallelujah, I am dead for this sin. This thing that wants to tempt me. I am dead to it. Colossians 3:3 says, For you died. It's wonderful. Again, in the past tense. You died. And then in verse 5, therefore put to death your members. So which is it now? Are we dead or do we need to be put to death? Both. Yes, we have died. And if we do not see that, then we also cannot overcome. And yet in this situation, we still have to actively put our members to death. We actively have to kill our flesh, right? Our flesh and our self is already crucified, but what is still alive, what is still wiggling around, it's our members. Members which are fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. When these things come up, then we have to actively put them to death. And we put them to death by proclaiming that we have already died. This is a mystery, but we have to practice this to experience it. In verse 8, Colossians 3, verse 8, but now you there yourselves are put off all these, to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Ephesians 4, 23, he says, Colossians 3, verse 9 says that we have put off the old man. It's done. And we have, Colossians 3, verse 10 says, and we've put on the new man. And then in 12, he says, therefore, put on tender mercies. It's not a contradiction. It's a mystery. On the one hand, the Lord has already completed these things, and through faith and baptism, we have entered into these truths. On the other hand, we have to take hold of these truths daily, anew. Every day anew, I have to say, Lord, I lay aside my old man. I put him off and I put the new man on. And that is also a very important practical exercise that we need today. And praise the Lord. In this way, we can overcome our flesh and our old man. We stand upon the word that the Lord has already fulfilled. And we put our members to death that are still moving. We lay the old man aside. And don't forget not just to lay the old man aside, but put on the new man. Sometimes we're so busy fighting the negative aspects. But the best way to get rid of the negative and to overcome the negative aspects is to take hold and grasp of the positive aspects. I want to finish with a verse from Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:18. The best way to overcome 16. Galatians 5:16. The best way to overcome and to grasp it. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Therefore, let us daily practice to walk by the Spirit. It's the best way to overcome flesh and yourself. If we are so busy walking in the Spirit, serving the Lord in the church life, it's the best way to overcome your flesh and yourself. And then the last point under A in the outline is to sow daily to the Spirit and not to the flesh. It's really a sowing. You don't immediately see the fruit. You don't immediately see the effect, but you sow daily to the Spirit and not to the flesh. The word says that we will reap at the appointed time if we continue to sow daily.